was poisoned. It was a terrible night, and in the morning the Duke was in the palace. Then there was the matter of the will. "Don't tell me," said Granny. "I bet there was a will leaving everything to this Duke. I bet the ink was still wet."
"How did you know that?" said Mrs. Gogol.
"Stands to reason," said Granny loftily.
"The Baron had a young daughter," said Mrs. Gogol.
"She'd still be alive, I reckon," said Granny.
"You surely know a lot of things, lady," said Mrs. Gogol. "Why do you think that, then?"
"Well," said Granny, she was about to say, "because I know how the stories work," but Nanny Ogg interrupted.
"If this Baron was as great as you say, he must have had a lot of friends in the city, right?" she said.
"That is so. People liked him."
"Well, if I was a duke, with no more claim on things than a smudgy will and a little bottle of ink with the cork still out, I'd be looking for any chance to make things a bit more official," said Nanny. "Marrying the real heir'd be favourite. He could thumb his nose at everyone then. I bet she don't know who she really is, eh?"
"That's right," said Mrs. Gogol. "The Duke's got friends too. Or keepers, maybe. Not people you'd want to cross. They've brought her up and they don't let her out much." The witches sat in silence for a while. Granny thought, "No, that's not quite right. That's how it'd appear in the history book, but it's not the story." Then Granny said, "Excuse me, Mrs. Gogol, but where do you come in all this? No offence, but I reckon that out here in the swamp it'd be all the same whoever was doing the ruling." For the first time since they'd met her, Mrs. Gogol looked momentarily uneasy.
"The Baron was a friend of mine," she said.
"Ah," said Granny, understandingly.
"He wasn't keen on zombies, mark you. He said he thought the dead should be allowed their rest, but he never insisted. Whereas this new one..."
"Not keen on the interesting arts," said Nanny. "Oh, I reckon he is," said Granny. "He'd have to be. Not your magic, maybe, but I bet he's got a lot of magic around him."
"Why do you say that, lady?" said Mrs. Gogol.
"Well," said Nanny, "I can see that you, being a lady of spirit, wouldn't put up with this if you didn't have to. There's lots of ways to sort matters out, I expect. I expect if you didn't like someone, their legs might unexpectedly drop off. Or they might find mysterious snakes in the boots."
"Alligators under their bed," suggested Nanny.
"Yes. He's got protection," said Mrs. Gogol.
"Ah, powerful magic. More powerful than you?" said Granny. There was a long and difficult pause.
"Yes."
"Ah, for now," Mrs. Gogol added. There was another pause. No witch ever liked admitting to less than near absolute power, or even hearing another witch doing so.
"You're biding your time, I expect," said Granny kindly.
"Wifing your strength," said Nanny.
"It's powerful protection," said Mrs. Gogol.
Granny sat back in her chair. When she spoke next, it was as a person who has certain ideas in their mind and wants to find out what someone else knows.
"What sort?" she said. "Exactly."
Mrs. Gogol reached into the cushions of her rocking chair and, after some rummaging, produced a leather bag and a pipe. She lit the pipe and puffed a cloud of bluish smoke into the morning air.
"You look in mirrors a lot these days, Mistress Weatherwax," she said.
Granny's chair tipped backwards, almost throwing her off the veranda and into the inky waters. Her hat flew away into the lily pads. She had time to see it settle gently on the water. It floated for a moment and then was eaten. A very large alligator snapped its jaws shut and gazed smugly at Granny. It was a relief to have something to shout about.
"My hat! It ate my hat! One of your alligators ate my hat! It was my hat! Make it give it back!"
She snatched a length of creeper off the nearest tree and flailed at the water. Nanny Ogg backed away.
"You shouldn't do that, Esme. You shouldn't do that," she quavered.
The alligator backed water.
"I can hit cheeky lizards if I want."
"Yes, you can," said Nanny soothingly, "but not with a snake."
Granny held up the creeper for inspection. A medium-sized, three-banded coit gave her a frightened look, considered biting her nose for a moment, thought the better of it, and then shut its mouth very tightly in the hope she'd get the message.
She opened her hand. The snake dropped onto the boards and slithered.